I love being able to come and sing all the Christmas carols, and I know some people hear them at work all the time. They get kind of sick of it by now, but I don't. That's probably my fault. I control what I hear at work, but I just enjoy being able to come and sing all the Christmas carols and this time of year and this season. Let's pray. Father, we just come before you tonight, just bowing before you, awestruck by the fact that you did come down, that you were born in a stable, that you laid in a manger, that you grew, learned to walk, and walked among us. And Lord, we bow before you, knowing that you did that as a man, but also as the God that we worship and serve. Lord, and we bow before you as our Savior, as our friend, as our Lord, and as the King of the universe. We pray this evening as we open your word together that you would speak to our hearts the truths that you have for us. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this morning, we spent some time looking back at how Christ came, was born, how he walked among us, how he experienced the joys and the trials of this world, both as God and as man, culminating in his death on a cross as our Savior, paying the penalty for our sins, rising from the dead, so that we could have a new life. That we could have a life with him, a life of victory, a life where we see the hope that is to come. But that's kind of where we left it this morning. And as Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 19, it says, if we have hoped in Christ in this life only, we are of all men most to be pitied. And there is yet a future that obviously we've not experienced, because that's why we call it the future, a future that's predicted. In Luke 2, Luke writes of a man named Simeon. 8 days after Jesus was born, Joseph and Mary took him to the temple, as was the custom. And it says, and there was a man in Luke 2, verse 25. It says, and there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to carry out from the custom of the law, he took him into his arms and blessed God and said, now, Lord, you are releasing your bondservant to depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light of revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of your people Israel. Simeon lived in hope. And it was revealed to him that he would see the birth of that hope, but he did not live to see its culmination or its fulfillment. He was aware that Jesus was to be a light to the Gentiles, which was kind of rare for the Jews in those days. Even after his resurrection, the apostles preached primarily only to the Jews. And it wasn't until after God gave a special revelation to Peter that they started reaching out to the Gentiles. And he was looking forward to Jesus as the glory of the people of Israel. In Matthew chapter 2, when Herod was inquiring where Jesus was to be born, in a passage we read this morning, he inquired of the elders of Israel. And they responded, in Bethlehem, land of Judea, and you, Bethlehem, land of Judea, are by no means the least among the leaders of Judah. For out of you shall come forth a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. And they were aware of where Jesus was to be born. And they were looking for him as that ruler, as that shepherd of the people. And as we know from the testimony of Scripture, and from secular histories that are also written, Jesus did not yet fill that role as ruler of Israel. Another verse that we mentioned this morning that we often see on Christmas cards, that last one is one we often see on Christmas cards, but again, it's one that has not yet been fulfilled. Another one that we often see on Christmas cards that we mentioned this morning is Isaiah 9. Verses 6 and 7. For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. And there will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forever. And the zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. Jesus has not yet held the government on his shoulders. He has not yet sat on the throne of David or ruled over his kingdom. And there are many more prophecies like this, like as we see in Isaiah chapter 11. Then a shoot will spring from the stem of Jesse, and a branch from his roots will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and strength, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. And some of that we saw in his first coming. But it continues, and he will not judge by what his eyes see, nor make a decision by what his ears hear. With righteousness he will judge the poor, and decide with fairness for the afflicted of the earth. And he will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Also righteousness will be the belt about his loins, and faithfulness the belt about his waist. And the wolf will dwell with the lamb, and the leopard will lie down with the young goat, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and the little boy will lead them. Also the cow and the bear will graze, the young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. The nursing child will play by the hole of the cobra, and the weaned child will put his hand on the viper's den. And they will not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. Again, a future we have yet to see. Jesus coming as king, as ruler, as judge, and establishing a kingdom of righteousness, a kingdom of peace. We looked this morning at how creation, all of creation, groans together, as it says in Romans chapter 2, under the curse, under the weight of the sin that was brought into the world through the actions of Adam and Eve. And we see here a healing of that curse, a removal of that curse, as the penalty for that sin has been paid. Yet to be projected. A time yet to come. In Revelation chapter 19, I started this morning in Genesis. I promised you I'd end tonight in Revelation, and we did get there. And we didn't have to spend all afternoon here to do it. Revelation chapter 19. We see John prophesying the fulfillment of these other prophecies that we've been looking at. Verse 11. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on it is called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and wages war. His eyes are a flame of fire, and on his head are many crowns. And he has a name written on him which no one knows except himself. He is clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which are in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, were following him on white horses. From his mouth comes a sharp sword, so that with it he may strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. And he treads the winepress of the fierce wrath of God the Almighty. And on his robe and on his thigh he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so we see the fulfillment of history. We talked this morning of sin and its curse. And we talked, and we know from Scripture, that the result of sin is death. Physical death first. Spiritual death second. And we see when Jesus comes again, he came originally as a baby, grew to a man, lived a perfect sinless life, and died for us. To show us mercy and God's grace. And he's going to come again, and he comes again. He'll come as a king, as a ruler ruling in righteousness. And when he comes, for those that believe, his mercy is true. It says the righteous will be at his side, behind him. The armies of heaven, in Revelation 21 or 19 that we just read. But there's another side to that. God extends his mercy and his grace, but there's a deadline. The deadline for each of us may be different. For some of us, that deadline will be the day we die. For others, that deadline may be when he comes and takes his church out of this world. For some, that deadline will be when he returns on that horse and he judges the nations with righteousness. Strikes him with a rod of iron, as prophesied in Isaiah that we read, and also in Revelation. The wicked will pay their price. Justice will be served. We spoke of death. Revelation chapter 20. At the end of the chapter, verses 11 through 15, speaks of that second death, that death which is forever. That death that God wants no man to have to suffer. In a place that was prepared not for man, but for Satan and the fallen angels. But for those that choose to walk away from God, it's the fate they face. And it too is forever. But for those that recognize the truth, that baby born in a manger, that man that walked among us perfectly, that God that walked among us perfectly. Yeah, both those senses are true simultaneously. The same person. There's a better promise. Revelation chapter 21. We see the fulfillment of that, of Isaiah 11. It says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there is no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he will dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them.'" Just as it was, as we saw in the garden this morning when God came and walked in the garden with Adam and Eve. "And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And there will no longer be any death. There will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away." We talked this morning how Jesus came as a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. That he knows the sorrows we go through. And now we see the comfort, the eternal comfort, and the eternal peace that he will give us. Whatever we're going through in this life, it's not forever. "And he who sits on the throne said, 'Behold, I am making all things new.' And he said, 'Write, for these words are faithful and true.' And then he said to me, 'It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give to the one who thirsts from the spring of the water of life without cost. He who overcomes will inherit these things, and I will be his God. And he will be my son. But for the cowardly and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and immoral persons and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death.'" In Matthew, I think it's chapter 13. I wasn't going to bring this up, but I'm going to. In Matthew chapter 13, Jesus talks about people coming to the final judgment. And they'll come and they'll say, "Lord, didn't I prophesy in your name? Didn't we do miracles in your name? Didn't we heal in your name? Didn't we do all these things for you?" And he says to them, "Depart from me, for I never knew you." And there are others who came who trusted in him. And to those he said, come now, enter into the kingdom of heaven. Make sure you're on the right side of that judgment. It's not what we do for him. Although he does want us to live for him. It's what we believe. It's what our faith is. Faith isn't in us. It's not in what we do. It's in his work on the cross for us. So tonight, as we close this service, we'll sing again of that night in Bethlehem long ago when he was born, when his birth was proclaimed by the angels, acknowledged by the shepherds. And when they recognized that evening that they were before the Lord of the universe and they bowed before him in that stable and they worshiped him. We'll worship him one more time in song. And as we go, make sure you're on the right side of that judgment. And share his word with those who need to hear it, those who aren't with us tonight. Because we don't know what day somebody's final decision is. We may think somebody has 5, 10, 20, 30, 50 years. They may have a day, they may have a week, they may have hours. Jesus could come before he finished the service tonight. It's a matter of urgency. Our Father, we thank you that you did come on a night 2,000 years ago to a small town in Israel, in Judea, by the name of Bethlehem. Your coming was announced by the angels. They were worshipped by the shepherds and the magi. And that you came that we might have life and have it abundantly. And in that life, you give us a light that you want us to share among the nations, among the people who you place us with to mingle with every day. We pray as we go from here that we would share that light, this message of hope that you've proclaimed, that you've given to us. In Jesus' name, amen.